because he was divine and lived a perfect life, he was the only possible candidate to pay for mankind's sin. He was born of a virgin and became human in order to die on the cross for us. God the Father placed our sins on him, and Jesus suffered the wrath of God that we deserved. He suffered the punishment that you and I deserved. He suffered the hell that you and I deserved. Without his atoning death on our behalf, there would be no salvation, and we would all die in our sins and be forever under God's wrath.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. If you are a regular listener of this podcast, I would ask you to please do me a small one, okay? Please go to whatever platform that you listen to the podcast on and give us a nice review. Or if there's a thumbs up, give us a thumbs up, or give us a 5-star. That would be awesome. I thank you in advance if you would do that for us. We need to reach more and more people around this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Heaven only knows we're just overloaded with bad news every single day. But, you know, the gospel is always good news. So do that for us. And when you give us a good review or give us a 5-star rating or a thumbs up or whatever, also, please, let your friends and family and coworkers know about this podcast. I believe it'll be a blessing to many, many more people. Today we're talking about Jesus Christ, our substitute. In Matthew 27, verse 22, the Bible reads, "The people shouted, 'Let him be crucified.'" That's what the religious leaders of Israel demanded the Romans do with Jesus. And crucifixion was the worst kind of death imaginable. It was a practice that originated with barbarians centuries earlier, and it was handed down to the Persians, Greeks, and eventually the Romans, who actually perfected it to a sadistic degree, causing the longest possible agony for the victim. The reason the Jewish leaders demanded the execution of Jesus was because they wanted to get rid of him once and for all. And that's still the wish of many people today who want absolutely nothing to do with the man called Jesus of Nazareth. But those of us who know him and love him want other people, want the world to know that Jesus came to save sinners. When Jesus entered the scene as an itinerant or traveling preacher proclaiming a new message, the religious leaders of the day hated him, despised him for disrupting their religious system of rules and regulations that they themselves never followed. See, the leaders didn't approve of his teaching and were afraid of losing control of the people. That's what religion does. It controls people. Yet the cross upon which they demanded that Jesus die became the means by which salvation was offered to all who would believe in him. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, and then verses 22 through 24 contrasts two different perspectives of Calvary's cross: that of the saved and the unsaved. Those verses say this: "The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Gentiles search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, utter foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Praise God. You see, Jesus' message was different from that of the Jewish leaders because he offered a whole new life. Jesus told Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a teacher in Israel, that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again of the Spirit. We find that in John 3:3. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus described a lifestyle pleasing to God that was totally different from what the Pharisees taught. It included love of enemies. Wow! It included the forgiveness of offenders and trust in the Heavenly Father to provide for all needs. In addition, Jesus performed amazing miracles that further upset the religious establishment. He went about healing the sick and even raising the dead. The crowds who followed him were increasing. Multitudes followed him. Yet despite all the evidence of his deity, the religious leaders turned against him and used their authority to bring about his death. They were incensed by Jesus' claim to be the eternal Son of God and the only way of salvation. Although we may wonder how anyone could feel such animosity toward Jesus Christ, there are many people today who hate even the mention of his name because he presents a narrow way, the only way of salvation. Oh, they're willing to accept the general term of God because every religion has a God of some kind. But Jesus' claim to be the only way to God utterly offends them. Loved one, what you believe about Jesus is the critical issue of your life. What do you believe about Jesus? The Bible says Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. His coming was predicted by Old Testament prophets as the one who would set people free from sin and rebellion against God. And yet this belief is becoming less popular in our day because it threatens a society that desires freedom to do whatever it wants. Our modern society resents anyone, especially Christians, who tell them how to live. And the more believers obey, worship, and live for Christ, the more uncomfortable those around them become. You may have seen it in your own life. If you're a follower of Christ, you tend to make certain people nervous. Now, Jesus' substitutionary death on the cross is at the very heart of Christianity. It's what Christianity is all about. This was the primary reason the Son of God came to earth. Jesus came to earth to die as a substitute for us. He came to die as the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and mine. Because he was divine and lived a perfect life, he was the only possible candidate to pay for mankind's sin. Therefore, he was born of a virgin and became human in order to die on the cross for us. God the Father placed our sins on him. And Jesus suffered the wrath of God that we deserved. He suffered the punishment that you and I deserved. He suffered the hell that you and I deserved. Without his atoning death on our behalf, there would be no salvation, and we would all die in our sins and be forever under God's wrath in the lake of fire. So since Jesus is the only substitute, he is the only way of salvation. Jesus affirmed this truth when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You find that in John 14, verse 6. Dear one, there is no other means of forgiveness and reconciliation to God except through the atoning, substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. No other way. All who believe in him as Savior and Lord, trusting in his sufficient sacrifice, can be forgiven of all sin and be made acceptable to God. The Apostle Paul also claimed that Jesus is the only way. Romans 5, verses 8 through 10 describes this amazing transaction. Paul writes, "God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified or declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if we were enemies, For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Hallelujah. I got so excited I hit the microphone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then the Apostle Peter proclaimed Jesus as the only way. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter proclaimed this. When he was defending the gospel before hostile Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin, Peter said boldly, "There is no salvation anywhere else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, and that's through the name of Jesus." Although as Christians we may be accused of being narrow-minded, and I've been accused of that. I have. By family, friends, former acquaintances, strangers. "You're narrow. You're narrow-minded. You're narrow." And I say, yeah, and saved. So, although as Christians we may be accused of being narrow-minded, we must remain firm, strong, and hold to the truth of the Bible, which clearly tells us how to be saved. Loved one, I'm telling you, if you're a follower of Christ, a genuine follower, you and I can expect criticism. But we should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In addition, we must be courageous in telling people about salvation through Jesus Christ. They need to know. The world needs to know. All those around us need to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. All who trust in Christ's death as payment for their sins and surrender their lives to him can be certain that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that heaven is their future eternal home. Hallelujah. I pray that you were blessed by this short teaching today, dear one. But before we go, let me ask you this question. Couple of questions. Have you, think about this, be honest, have you ever admitted your hopeless, sinful condition and trusted in Christ's substitutionary death on your behalf? Have you? If not, will you do so today? Now, if you are a follower of Christ, how do you respond when people accuse you of being narrow-minded on the issue of salvation? Is your focus more on people's negative responses or on your concern for the lost condition of that person and your responsibility to declare the truth of the gospel to them? Let me address the first group that I just spoke to. If you have not come to know and accepted into your heart Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then today is your day. This is your hour of decision, dear one. I believe that God is moving upon hearts, and maybe He's moving upon your heart right now through His Spirit. And He's drawing you to Jesus, to that personal relationship where you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, you turn away from them, and you open your heart to Jesus Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, the CEO of your life, to take control of what you've messed up so badly. Open your heart right now and pray this prayer with me to receive Him into your heart and life. Pray this out loud with me and pray it with everything inside you, with all your heart. Dear God in heaven, yes, pray it with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the foolish and sinful things I have done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's holy word, which cannot lie, I am washed. I am now cleansed. I am forgiven. I am healed. And I am reborn. And I will live for you, Jesus, and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Oh, dear one, if you've prayed that prayer with me, Jesus says that the angels of heaven are rejoicing over you right at this moment. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. If you've prayed that prayer with me, you need to tell other people about this decision you've made for Christ. Today, tell other people. They may laugh at you. They may mock you. They may hug you. They may weep and just love on you and welcome you to the family of God. There will be a variety of responses to this. But be strong. Be bold. Walk in the love of Christ. Get into the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, get one. And go to church next weekend, dear one. That's so important that you find a great local church. Ask God to lead you. He will. To just the right church for you. And get plugged in to a wonderful local church where the Bible is preached and taught and where the people love God and love each other. Also, if you've prayed this prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you, and my life will never be the same. If you'll do that, I will rejoice over you. I'll send you a word of encouragement through the website, through email. And what's more, I will send you a free resource, postage paid, to help you get started in this walk with Christ. Praise God. Welcome to the family, dear one. And pastors, if you're listening, please go to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Go to the testimonials page where other pastors and church leaders give recommendations for our ministry. God is moving in our services and revivals. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Lord Jesus. He's doing great and mighty things in our services. Contact me today, Pastor. I'd love to partner with you, your congregation and community, in revival. Until we meet again, dear ones, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.